Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today for LWML Sunday goes along with our theme. You might have seen that on the front page of the bulletin. The theme for LWML Sunday in 2019 is Faith Like a Mustard Seed. And so the text comes from that gospel reading from Luke chapter 17. Jesus is teaching many things to his people, to his disciples and others on his way to Jerusalem. He's teaching about selfless service. He's teaching about thankfulness. And in verse 6, which is really where our sermon is going to focus today, verse 6, Jesus teaches about faith. And he simply says, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the side effects of having little kids in your house is that you end up sort of consuming a whole lot of the same kids' entertainment that they do. You know, even if you don't really want to, it just kind of happens. It's just sort of inevitable. And this is one of those things where, you know, the internet has really intensified this little simple part of life, I feel. You know, with the advent of YouTube and other internet streaming services, there is just absolutely no limit to the amount of children's entertainment that is out there. And there's a wide range of stuff. Some of it's good and educational, some of it's not so good. Some of it is, you know, like your traditional nursery rhymes and things. And then other things are, you know, like baby shark doo 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 baby shark. No, I won't start that. That's not a good idea. But, you know, so in our household, I'm amazed when, like, Zoe and Zach will gravitate toward something that's more traditional. You know, something that's more like those old nursery rhymes that I learned when I was their age. It's amazing to me sometimes when I'll be, you know, just kind of half paying attention and all of a sudden I'm hearing, you know, like Hickory Dickory Dock and Mary Had a Little Lamb and things like that. It's like, oh, you know, kids are still learning this stuff. That's good. But it's a different experience, though, when you're listening to these nursery rhymes as an adult. If you really listen to some of the words that are used in these rhymes, and if you're brave enough to Google some of the history and the origin stories behind some of these nursery rhymes, you find out that some of these are actually kind of strange, maybe even a little dark, actually. So, you know, like, for example, I found out that the story of Jack and Jill going up the hill actually has to do with two people that faced the guillotine at some point. We all know, or most of us know, I think, that Ring Around the Rosie has to do with the Black Plague. London Bridge fell down because centuries ago, Vikings attacked the city of London. I mean, honestly, when you know those histories, I'd almost take Baby Shark over some of that stuff. I guess it's just because this is a part of my life right now, but when I found out that the theme verse for LWML Sunday was going to be this verse, Luke 17, verse 6, talking about faith like the grain of a mustard seed, telling a mulberry tree to just lift itself out and throw itself into the ocean, when I heard that, the very first place that my brain went was to a nursery rhyme. Right? Here we go round the mulberry bush is the first thing. Yeah, I don't know. I don't ever think about mulberries otherwise, I guess. So here we go round the mulberry bush. And you know how some of the other verses go to, like, this is the way we wash our face and this is the way we comb our hair, you know, those kinds of things. And so I assumed that nursery rhyme was written so that would help children to learn, you know, how to get ready in the morning. Right? Like, to kind of go through all the steps of getting ready so early in the morning, right? And it's kind of a nice sing-songy way to learn how to do those things. But I decided I better check and just see if I can do a little bit of research on this one. And I found out, would you believe, there's actually kind of a dark history to that nursery rhyme, too. It originated in a British prison. And the inmates who had to do their morning calisthenics, their exercises, near a mulberry tree. And then when they were done with that, they would go through their routine. They would wash their face and comb their hair so early in the morning. So there's your fun fact for the day. I'm not trying to ruin anybody's childhood here, but I just think it's really interesting when you go your whole life and you think one thing and then you learn something later that makes you change your whole way of thinking about something that you just assumed to be true. And I don't know if this really has anything specific to do with LWML Sunday. I mean, I'm not about to tell you that these ladies in purple have some dark, sinister history that you've never heard before. I promise I'm not going to do that. But I was thinking about how the LWML, how the role that they play has and can help us understand what faith looks like out in the world. And what that really looks like when we pay attention to the things that this organization stands for, to the things that, by the grace of God, they've been able to accomplish over the years, I think we might realize that if we do our research and we learn our history, we find out that maybe some of the assumptions, just like with the nursery rhyme, some of the assumptions we've made about the way that the world is, about what Christians, ordinary men and women, are capable of doing, I think we find out some of those assumptions might not be exactly right. For example, we hear a lot of talk these days about how difficult it is to be a Christian in general, right? The world has changed. The nation has changed. Increasingly, people are walking away from church, or maybe they're choosing not even to affiliate with the church in the first place because we are seen as irrelevant and judgmental and hypocritical, and the list goes on and on. The more secularized our nation becomes, the more we are told that we will just never have an impact as Christians in the world. And so the temptation then is to just kind of throw up your hands, just give up, kind of approach life with a spirit of timidity or fear, or maybe just to be doubtful disciples of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus has given us the Great Commission. He's told us to go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize and to teach. But when we think about that and we look around us at the world, maybe we start to think, you know, is this really just like an old nursery rhyme? You know, like maybe it's fun if you're just a naive little kid, but come on, grow up, look at the world around you. Doesn't Jesus know that what he's asking us to do in the Great Commission is literally impossible? And that's sort of the attitude that some of Jesus' own disciples had. That was some of their way of thinking, and that's kind of what leads us into this reading from Luke chapter 17. The disciples thought that what Jesus was asking them to do was utterly impossible. Right before we get to this passage, which started with verse 5, Jesus had just finished teaching about this radical forgiveness, and I kind of briefly mentioned that with the kids during the children's message. Jesus had taught that if you have a brother who comes and sins against you 7 times, even in the same day, that you are still called as their neighbor, as their brother, to forgive them all 7 times. There's no limit to the amount of forgiveness we are called to give as Christians. And so the disciples are thinking about that, and they're completely astonished by this. I mean, they are so appalled almost by this, the impossibility of it all, that verse 5 is them throwing up their hands and saying simply, Lord, increase our faith, as if faith is something that could truly be measured, as if faith is something that we all have different amounts of. Maybe you have more or less faith than the person next to you or something like that. And Jesus' answer to that is, again, verse 6. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you'd be able to tell this mulberry tree, be uprooted and throw yourself into the sea and it would obey you. And Jesus, of course, he doesn't actually explain what he means by that, so then we're all left with that classic Lutheran question. What does this mean? Jesus is trying to get them to understand, when he says this, that it's not really all that helpful to try to quantify the amount of faith you have, to try to measure out your faith in these sort of earthly human terms. To try to compare how much faith you might have to the person next to you. Jesus is kind of trying to get them away from that. He's saying even the tiniest amount of faith, true faith, is effective. When the disciples are saying, Lord, increase our faith, they're asking in their minds, they're thinking of some superhuman faith, right? Some heroic faith, something that would make them personally capable of doing this whole radical forgiveness thing that Jesus has been talking about. And I think, honestly, we do this sometimes too, maybe in the way that we talk about faith. Maybe we say things at times like, if only I had enough faith, or if only I could believe enough, right? And we don't realize that when we talk that way, make faith like an amount, we're actually turning faith into a work, into something that we do or something that we are capable of, instead of faith being simply a gift that God gives to us. When we say, can we believe enough? Can we trust enough? Do we have enough faith to make this or that happen? We simply receive faith as a gift. And honestly, I think part of the problem is that sometimes we struggle with how we should even define faith in the first place. I don't know if you've ever had to try to put into words, what is faith? Lutherans talk about faith all the time. I mean, we talk about faith alone, right? Being the means for our salvation. We talk about how it's really important. In fact, it's the only thing that's truly important is that we believe in Jesus Christ. And all that's true. I'm not denying any of that, but what I am saying is, what do we mean when we talk that way? Are we talking about believing in Jesus like a mental exercise, you know, like a person who says, I believe in the tooth fairy, I believe in magic, something like that? It's not just the mere acknowledgement of Jesus' existence that we're talking about when we say faith alone. But even more importantly, what we're saying is that faith is an expression of trust. Faith is something that even tiny little babies can have, because babies are capable of trust even when they don't understand everything there is to understand about God, right? You can have faith in a friend of yours because you trust them. You know they're going to follow through on their promises and things like that. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about having faith like a mustard seed. Even the teeniest, tiniest amount of faith, if you trust in the Lord, that's what leads to Christians being able to experience the impossible. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the one that we have trust in. He's the object of our faith, and we acknowledge that he is the creator of the universe. He's able to do anything, and not only that, but he's on your side. So he's able to do anything for you, and he has. If we think that uprooting a mulberry tree would be impressive, I mean, that's nothing compared to uprooting sin that has infected our whole existence. And we're not just talking about throwing that sin into the ocean. We're talking about destroying sin, destroying our punishment with Jesus' death and resurrection. What would be impossible for man becomes possible for God. And Jesus proved that on the cross. The one who came and died for you. The one who broke through death and came to life for you. The one who called you by holy baptism to be his own. He makes seemingly impossible things possible in our lives. So, if we believe that, then what does that look like? What does it look like to live out a mustard seed kind of faith in the world? And this is really where I think LWML comes in as an example for LWML Sunday. You know, the Lutheran Women's Missionary League is a great example of an organization that tries to show us what it looks like to live out a mustard seed kind of faith and to tackle things that seem impossible at first. So you think about just these teeny tiny little gifts. We call them mites. We put them in the mite box, just like spare change and maybe some dollar bills every once in a while too. But when you take that money that ends up in our little mite box back there in the narthex, and you combine that with the mite offerings that come from congregations all across our synod, what that ends up adding up to is Christ moving mulberry trees. Since 1942, we're talking about over $100 million worth of mission grants that have gone out throughout the whole world. $2.1 million of that has been pledged in this biennium alone. That's pretty amazing. If we consider the congregations as the soul of the LCMS, and if we consider maybe the seminaries and universities as the mind of the LCMS, and Lutheran Hour Ministries as the voice of the LCMS, LWML has to be the heart of the LCMS. The women of our church have taught us what it looks like to live out a mustard seed faith and to let Jesus do the impossible. In our relationship with Jesus, we all have what's necessary to do difficult or even impossible things because we have that faith in Him, that trust in Him. He's the one that's ultimately doing it all. It's not us. In the end, we simply trust our Savior because He's shown us that He is capable of everything. He's brought us from death to life. He's made us family of His instead of orphans. He's taken away our guilt. He's pronounced innocence upon us through His blood. And as we continue to experience life in this world, and maybe even like the nursery rhymes I mentioned, even if we start to experience the dark side of life at times, my prayer is that we would be encouraged by that instead of discouraged. That we wouldn't just like throw up our hands and say, it's too difficult to follow Jesus. It's too difficult to be a Christian in this world. Because what appears to be hard or maybe even impossible is really a call for us to simply cling to Jesus, to trust in Him, to walk with Him day after day, to sing, this is the way we trust the Lord so early in the morning. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.